The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Each Sunday, there is a moment in the service when we share the peace. Now, in the before times, what that meant is we would go around and shake people's hands or maybe even hug them, and we would say to each other, "Peace be with you." In today's gospel reading, we learn where that phrase comes from. Jesus says, "Peace be with you," on the Sunday of his resurrection. He says it to his disciples. And it may seem very sweet that we do each Sunday with each other what Jesus did with his disciples on that very first Sunday. But it's important to remember that when Jesus says, "Peace be with you," to his disciples, these are the first words that Jesus has spoken to his male disciples since he was crucified. "Peace be with you" are the first words that Jesus speaks to the people who abandoned him. "Peace be with you" are the first words that Jesus speaks to the people who denied him. "Peace be with you" are words spoken to the very people who harmed Jesus. And they are words of reconciliation. Yes, on one level, these words, they convey the limitless grace and forgiveness that Jesus offers his disciples. But it's worth noting that immediately after Jesus says, "Peace be with you," Jesus then shows the disciples the marks on his hands where he was nailed to the cross. And then he shows the disciples the wound on his side where a spear stabbed him to make sure he was dead. Jesus says, "Peace be with you," but then he forces the disciples to confront the consequences of their sin. Jesus speaks words of reconciliation, but then he calls the disciples to bear witness to the harm that their actions have caused. And I emphasize this because too often when we seek reconciliation, we try to do so without addressing the harm that our actions or the actions of others have done. And this is true whether we seek reconciliation between individuals or between groups or within ourselves. The Greek word for wound is trauma. Trauma, that's the Greek word for wound. And psychologists have learned what Jesus knew 2,000 years ago, that if we are to seek healing from our trauma, we can't deny it. We can't try to cover it up or pretend it doesn't exist. We can't bury it. It's like having a broken bowl and we're trying to pretend it's held together even though it's full of cracks. If we do that, pretending won't make it hold water. We just end up with leaks in inappropriate places. And the same thing is true with our relationships and our soul. If we refuse to acknowledge the fact that we have emotional, spiritual, and relational trauma, what ends up happening is we have all these disjointed parts of ourselves that don't fit together in a shared reality. And so the emotions of anger and sorrow that would be entirely appropriate in response to our trauma, they spring out, pour out in inappropriate places that are completely unrelated in unhealthy ways. And so we have come to learn what Jesus knew 2,000 years ago. That if we are to seek healing and wholeness, we have to confront our wounds, address our trauma so that these wounds can be transformed and integrated into our understanding of who we are in a way that gives us life. Now, I'll be the first to admit, I'm not keen to admit that I've got trauma. I don't want to say that I have wounds, and there's a few reasons for that, right? One is, I don't want to think of myself as a victim. And I don't want to think of other people in my life as villains, or if perhaps I'm part of someone else's trauma, I don't want to think of myself as a villain to someone else's victim. And perhaps even more so, I don't want to think of myself as broken or cracked, because in our culture, cracked and broken things, they get thrown away and abandoned. But what if that weren't the case? What if broken things were seen as beautiful? Well, in Japan, there is an art called kintsugi, and it is the art of joining together broken pieces of ceramic. And in kintsugi, the goal is not to hide the cracks or the flaws or the shards. The goal is, in fact, to highlight them, because they join together these pieces of broken pots with gold. And I've got a picture here for you. And in kintsugi, because the broken pieces of the pottery is held together with this gold lacquer, when an object breaks, it doesn't diminish the object's value. In fact, the opposite. The object becomes more valuable. The object becomes more beautiful, not just on a physical aesthetic level, but in its depth of meaning. Because the object now has a story of how it became broken and how it became whole, a story of how it came to be so beautiful. And in this way, kintsugi seeks not only to bring wholeness by fitting together the pieces of pottery, it seeks to bring wholeness to the object by fitting together the pieces of its story. Psychologists have a term for this. They call it coherence. Coherence is when all the pieces of our life fit together in one unified and seamless story. The pieces of our past and the pieces of our present. The pieces of our trauma and the pieces of our safety. When they can come together in a unified story in which there are no villains or victims. There are only people who have been hurt and who are learning to heal and be transformed. This is what Jesus is offering his disciples when he says to them, "Peace be with you." And then he also shows them the wounds on his body. Because in Hebrew, the word peace is shalom. And shalom, while it does mean peace, it means peace through harmony. It means peace through wholeness. When Jesus says, "Peace be with you," he is inviting the disciples into the peace that comes through acknowledging the whole part of their story, the part of their story that includes sin and failure, the part of their story that acknowledges the trauma that they both helped perpetuate, as well as they received when Jesus was hauled away to the cross. But it is a story that doesn't end with that trauma. It is a story that continues. And so it becomes a story not of villains and victims. It becomes a story of grace, a story of the power of God's transforming love to turn these disciples who once denied and abandoned Christ into the beautiful saints who are the very body of Christ. Jesus makes kintsugi disciples to serve a kintsugi Christ, who is the Messiah of our kintsugi God. And I've got an image here for that as well. The perfect person, the risen Jesus, has to have wounds on his body. Because he is perfect, because he is willing to suffer for the sake of love, Jesus cannot be whole unless he is wounded. Our God, our perfect God will forever carry the wounds of the incarnation, because those wounds are a part of God's perfect love for us. God cannot be whole unless God is scarred. It is this wholeness that Thomas yearns for. It is this wholeness that Thomas seeks when he says that he cannot believe unless he sees the marks of the nails in Jesus' hands, unless he puts his finger there and puts his hand in the wound where that spear pierced the heart of his Lord. When Thomas says these things, what he is saying is that he needs a Kintsugi Christ. He needs a Jesus who, if resurrected and brought to new life, bears the wounds of the trauma that he and the disciples shared together. Thomas needs this because he needs to know that he, as Thomas, who bears wounds and trauma, can also be healed, can find wholeness and peace. And the Jesus who can teach him how to find that wholeness is the Jesus who is both risen and wounded at the very same time. And Jesus does that for Thomas. It says that 1 week later, after the Sunday of the resurrection, so 1 week later, right, that's today, 1 week after Easter Sunday, the disciples once again gather together. And this time Thomas is with them. And once again, as the disciples gather together on a Sunday, Jesus shows up. And Jesus shows up willing to share his wounds, to let Thomas see the marks of the cross on his body and to be healed by them. And Thomas believes. You see, faith comes through seeing the power of Christ to bring wholeness out of our brokenness. It comes from seeing people who are transformed by the peace of Christ that makes our lives coherent and whole. And so the church is called to bear the marks of the cross. The church is called to be a place where we are open with our wounds, so that together we might find healing in our brokenness. It requires us to admit when we have failed and sinned, both as individuals, but also as an institution. And this requires incredible vulnerability. It requires vulnerability about topics that most of us, understandably, don't want to talk about. And one of those topics is money. A lot of us don't like talking about money, in part because money is so tied up with our trauma. Either the trauma of not having the money we need to get by, or the trauma of being given money instead of love by the people in our lives, or perhaps the fact that many of us try to heal our trauma by pouring money on our wounds. But the truth is, we cannot find wellness in our lives unless we find wholeness with our relationship to money. So today, in addition to hearing the story of Thomas seeking Jesus' wounds, we also hear the story of Acts 4, in which, in response to the resurrection, the early followers of Jesus take a radical act of vulnerability. Everyone sells all their possessions, all their private property, and they pool their money together, and they share everything in common. It's a beautiful image of a community of believers being honest about their various needs and their various abundance and seeking to find wholeness and peace through sharing what they have. It's a beautiful image of the body of Christ, but it only lasts for two chapters. In Acts chapter 4, yes, they sell everything and share all things in common. In Acts chapter 5, two members of the church keep some money back for themselves. When they're caught, they fall over dead. In Acts chapter 6, the community is in turmoil because the Greek-speaking widows aren't getting as many resources from the church as the Hebrew-speaking widows. And by the time Paul writes his letters 2 decades later, he doesn't talk about the followers of Jesus sharing everything in common. Instead, he says that he has to work as a tent maker to pay his own way, and he's asking for a special collection to help the poor back in Jerusalem. Right, in 2 decades, we go from a church that shares all things in common to a church that has to take a second offering. And the amazing thing is, this profound failure of the church is in our scriptures. This is part of our Holy Bible. Because we have to be willing to admit, as the body of Christ, when we too have failed, when we have shared in trauma, receiving and giving it. And yet, the belief is this broken body of Christ is still made whole in Jesus. When we are honest about who we are, we can still be agents of grace, and we are still clearly called to be honest about our needs and our abundance. And so I am so grateful that during this past year, in the midst of a pandemic, some of the very members sitting in this room received checks from the government for COVID relief. And they said, I don't need this money. I have enough to get by. But they knew there were other folks in our community who could use it. And so they came to the congregation and said, will you distribute this money to people who have need? And through your all generosity, we have been able to receive and distribute over $10,000 of direct relief to people in our congregation and beyond who lost work during COVID. And that's not even talking about the thousands of dollars that individually and as a congregation we have sent to community organizations providing direct services during this pandemic. Right? This is a small but real way in which this community, by being open and honest about our needs and our abundance, has been able to bring wholeness and peace here in Chico through naming the brokenness and sharing it together. And so this Sunday, as we gather again for the first time in nearly 9 months inside, may we also continue to bear the marks of the cross. May we, when it comes time to share the peace with each other, acknowledge the shared trauma that we have all gone through for the past year because of this pandemic. And so for today, and for some time yet still, may we refrain from hugging and touching and instead remain in our seats and instead turn to each other and share a sign of peace or bow or say the words that Jesus said to his disciples. Peace be with you. May these distant signs of peace, along with all the other awkward health measures that we will take in this worship service today and in the weeks to come, may they be like the wounds of Christ. May they be the signs of our suffering for the sake of love, through which we are healed and made whole. Amen.